As we continue now, we're over here to the Gospel of John, and let us begin here, if you will, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we're going to see in a minute that the word Word here is referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice, in the beginning was the Word. There are two books in the New Testament that begin with in the beginning. And it's interesting to note that where they are used, they are not referring to exactly the same time. If you'll notice carefully here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. This is referring to the time of creation, in the beginning of creation. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, clear back to the end of your Bible now, and you'll find out here in chapter 1, verse 1, we also have the statement, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon with our hands, have we handled of the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, this beginning is the beginning of the life of the Lord Jesus here up on the earth. So the two references here of the two books that begin with in the beginning in the Gospel of John is referring to the beginning of creation, and in 1 John it is definitely referring here to the incarnation or the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us go on here, if you will, in verse 1 and look at this again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm going to take just a second here and amplify on something because it's very important. I'm going to state who teaches what, and the error and the fallacy in the teaching, because it is a basic cardinal doctrine of the Word of God. You will find, almost exclusively, wherever you find a religion trying to go to heaven, now sometimes, now this isn't true every time, you'll find where they're trying to go to heaven on their good works, that they do away with the deity of the Lord Jesus. Now this is not in every case, but in many, many cases. We find here that there is a religious group entitled Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, and I want to give you what they teach because it is fallacy. It does away with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we get into that and show you that, I would like for you to remember here the key verse of the book of the Gospel of John, because it's very important. It says in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." There are many, many more signs that Jesus did, but these are sufficient. But then notice in verse 31, which is very important, the whole emphasis of the book of John is upon the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, that he was not just humanity, he was God in that human flesh. Now notice what it says. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ," and the word Christ means anointed one, "the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now let me say this with no reservations. Any cult or any religious group that takes away the deity that Jesus Christ is not God himself in human flesh, there is absolutely no salvation whatsoever. It takes a perfect righteous God in human flesh to pay for the sins of the sinner. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was not God, then he is definitely a sinner, because Romans 3:23 tells us we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, if Christ is not God, then he is a sinner and he needs a Savior, and that we find is a false doctrine in the Word of God. Other words, God refutes that false doctrine by men. Now, let me give you this, and I think it's imperative that people know this and understand what some of these religious groups teach. In this particular case, let me say this. The Jehovah's Witnesses say this on this verse, and you can get one of their New World Translations and look it up. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They do not acclaim he is God. Without him being God, there is no salvation. We say that according to the Word of God. "Many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written." The things written right here in this book are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is God in human flesh, and that believing you might have life through his name. Take away the deity of Christ, and you have absolutely no salvation. I don't care how much pious, religious veneer you put on, how religious you act, how sincere and dedicated you are. when you take away Christ's deity as being God, you have absolutely no salvation except your own, and that means you're trying to work your way to heaven, which no man can ever attain. If that would be true, then Christ died in vain. Let me give this to you, if I may, and tell you how they translate this. Let me read it again and follow in your Bible, and I hope that you have it open. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They put a God, and they put G-O-D with a small letter, showing he was just another sort of some kind of God, but he was not God of the creation. He was not the creating God. And they put this in here. They put the definite article a, or they also say it could be the, should be before God. Let me give you something, if I may now, according to the Greek language. According to Greek grammatical usage, intransitive verbs, and let me explain what an intransitive verb is. Here, in this case, it would be the word was. In the beginning, was. Was is an intransitive verb. Wherever you have an intransitive verb, it takes no object, such as a God or the God. Now, this is the rules in the Greek language. It takes absolutely no object, but it does take instead what is called a predicate nominative, that is God. Other words, it would not be translated a God, but would be translated simply God. This would refer back to the subject. Now, the whole subject of verse 1 is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the whole subject of the sentence is the Word, and wherever you have an intransitive verb, which was, according to the Greek language, and according to the grammatical usage, it never takes an object such as a or the when you have a predicate nominative such as God. That would be a violation of the Greek language. Now, let me say this. They go ahead in the New World Translation and refer clear to the back of that and give you two pages and try to impress you of how much their Greek knowledge contains and why the word a should be there. They are not Greek scholars. They are Greek mutilators, not scholars, and the average person would be susceptible to this kind of, I call it plain old malarkey. If Jesus Christ is not God, this verse here is translated correctly, and if he is not God, we are forever without a Savior. I thank God that the Bible is translated correctly here. The Word was God, and not only that, that is in perfect conformity with verse 14. Now, I'd like for you to look down in verse 14 if you will, but I think it's important to point out some of these things on what some religious groups believe, because so many times they are now taught that if you say born again, they say born again. If you say the new birth, they say the new birth. You say saved, they say saved. And they're taught this in order to lead you to believe that they agree with you, where in reality they don't. You need to have a definition of the terminology. This is how slick some of these groups are getting and how they're doing it to try to make you believe, yes, we're just all born again. But their meaning of born again, their meaning of saved, their meaning of the Son of God means he is just another little God, but he is not God in human flesh. That's our definition of the Son of God. He is truly God in human flesh. They'll use the same terminology, but their meaning is entirely different. This is how slick that Satan is working through just to try to take away the deity of Christ. And he'll do it if he possibly can. So we need to be on our toes, we need to stick to the Scriptures, and we need to study them and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks for the reason and the hope within us. This is a very subtle attack right here on the first verse of the Gospel of John, and it's very subtly done by Jehovah's Witnesses, and I think you need to know what they teach, why they teach it, how they teach it, and what they mean by what they say, and that's why we're telling you here this morning. In verse 14 says this, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here it says, the Word was made flesh, or became flesh, and dwelt among us, literally means tabernacled among us. Now, I don't know anything else here when it says the Word was God, and God tabernacled among us, and God became human flesh. Other words, he took on a body, a virgin birth, born body, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Father did not have anything to do with conception, therefore, he did not inherit a sinful nature as babies inherit a sinful nature from their parents today, because his parent was the Holy Spirit of God. Now, as we go on, let's go on down, if you will, in verse 2. But we just wanted to bring that out because we think that needs to be brought to focus. And we think Christians need to know what some of these religious groups teach so they can intelligently defend it and know a little bit about the Greek language. And remember this, let me say it again. According to the Greek grammatical usage, wherever you have an intransitive verb, such as was, it never takes a object, such as a or the, but instead it has a predicate nominative, which is God, and never takes the object, which is a or the. That would violate the Greek grammatical use. And yet, people are vulnerable when they see some of these in the New World Translation and wonder, well, can that be true? Let me say this. Well, any denomination, any religious group, any religious organization that does away with the deity of Christ, I'll tell you this, you have no salvation except your own, and you can never work your way to heaven. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I'm not picking on Jehovah's Witnesses, but I'm just saying people need to know what different religious groups believe. We are Baptists. Now, I'm not saying all Baptists believe this, but I'm saying this church, Faith Baptist Church, I'm glad to tell you what we believe. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. There is nothing hidden. There is no secret terminology. There are no hidden meanings on our words. And I think that there should be no objections whatsoever if we pronounce what someone else teaches and where we can show that it is definitely contrary to the Word of God. I'm proud of what we stand for because it is the Bible, 100%. That is the authoritative word which we preach and stand by with no apologies whatsoever, because it's the only thing that will save your soul from eternal damnation and take you to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, let's go on down, if you will, in verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, how in the world could he be with God if he's just some sort of a little God? Now, this does not mean he was a offspring of Adam and Eve and so forth. They're saying here that this is God. The Word of God says he was God. Now, let me show you something, if I may. Clear back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, and says back there, in the beginning, God created. The word God there, and just to show you how selective, how absolute the Word of God is, in the Hebrew, that word is Elohim. El for God, I am, is the plural. E-L-O-H-I-M. El is God, I am in the Hebrew is always the plural. God chose the word Elohim, which means three or more. And here we have three in creation. We have the Father. We have the Son, who was with the Father, pre-existent, long before he ever took on human flesh. And we have the Holy Spirit, because the next verse says, and the Spirit of God brooded, or brooded over the earth. So all three were there. Now, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So they were coexistent there before Christ ever took on human flesh. It was not a God. It was God himself. Now, let's go on down. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. His preexistence is surely seen in this verse here. I thank God that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, gave himself, known as the only begotten Son in human flesh, because he was born of a virgin, left his throne in glory, came down to the earth, clothed with humanity to suffer for all the sins that you and I have ever committed in the past, now in the future, or will ever commit in the future. I mean now in the present or ever in the future. He died to pay for all sins past, present, and future. Now let me say this. When you trust him as your Savior, when he died on the cross, all sins he paid for you was future, because you had not been born yet to sin. So all sins that you did were future from the time of his death, burial, and resurrection. So not only did Christ die to pay for the sins of all those that died in the past, and let me say this, one begins to understand this. This is the reason that no Old Testament saint ever went to heaven. They went to the center of the earth, and when Christ paid for the sins, anointed in the mercy seat, then in Ephesians chapter 4, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. What is he ascended up on high and led captivity captive? Then all the Old Testament saints were emptied. They're in heaven now, and that's the reason you and I can go to heaven. because he paid for the sins of those in the past, those in the present, and for our sins in the future before we was ever born. All right, let's go on down now, if you will. Something else we would like to bring out. Notice here in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, says it again, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now the word own here is referring to the nation of Israel. When he sent the apostles out in Matthew chapter 10, he said, go not to the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, when his own received him not, let me tie this in, and I believe it will bring a little bit of understanding what we mean by, in the book of Matthew, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn quickly, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, here in verse 30 and 31. Now, in fact, we were out visiting last night, and a young couple asked this question here. What is the unpardonable sin, or what is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? So, just last night, we had this question asked, and it's asked quite frequently, and I believe now is a good time to bring it in and explain it along with this here. In verse 11 of John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, he came unto his own received him not. Notice in verse 31 and 32 of Matthew chapter 12, and here's how we tie it in. Wherefore I say unto you that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. In other words, this is very simple. Why would anyone that speaks against the Son of Man, why could his sins be forgiven? We'll see that in just a second. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, in the word world there should be age, neither in the age to come. Two things contained in this verse. If we speak against the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus, excuse me, then it shall be forgiven him. What do you mean? All of my sins, when I used the Lord's name in vain, when I was lost, all the sins I did against the Son of Man, against Jesus Christ, when I trusted him, those sins were wiped away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. But, notice this in the last part of this verse, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world age, or either in the age to come. Primarily, this is dealing with the nation of Israel. When the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, they're the same in one, convicted the Jewish nation that this is Jesus Christ. We're going to see this next week. We'll not get into it this week. John the Baptist convicted the nation of Israel that Jesus Christ, prepare the way for them, prepare the way for Christ. He is your Messiah. When they resisted the conviction of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was their Messiah and crucified him as a nation now, he said that sin against the conviction of the Holy Ghost by rejecting the Messiah will not be forgiven in this age, that was the age they're living in, or the age to come, and that is referring to the tribulation period because they did not know of the age of the church age, and in the tribulation period, even then, their sin will not be forgiven. They will be persecuted unmercifully during the tribulation period, but then they'll be restored during the millennial reign. This is a dispensational sin by the nation of Israel. Well, I see our time's gone. We hate to stop again. Seems like right in the middle of a stream, but the most important thing is this. I don't care what sin you've ever done against the Son of Man. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Every sin will be forgiven you right now. But if you die blaspheming the Holy Spirit, rejecting the conviction that Jesus Christ died for you, I'm applying it practically now, you'll likewise die in your sins. We urge you to accept Jesus Christ. He is God in human flesh that died for you. If you'll trust him, you'll be passed from death unto life.
Our message always is, God loves you, Jesus Christ died for you, and there's nothing it'll take you to heaven except your faith in God's gift. His Son, who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again just for you. And if you'll trust him, put your faith in him, he said, whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll take time to write. Remember our website again. It is www.heritagebbc.com. We'd love to have you write us and tune in there. Take time to write. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.